welcome to another episode of the Rayados 90 podcast. I'm copying Eddie's style. He'll jump in a bit, but this is Patrick. I've been here before, but normally Eddie is the one that leads it. So while he jumps into this one, I want to welcome Andres, who is joining us. Andres Jaime Mendez. He was at the stadium for the Inter Miami match against Rayados. And yeah, we want to get some thoughts from him. So, Andres, how are you? How's everything?
I'm doing well, Patrick. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me on. Happy to be here and share everything that I saw and took in for the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah, it was. How was it? Tell us about, I don't know, the experience in general. I saw that there was a lot of Rayados fans from like videos and stuff like that, but I don't know how you saw it in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I at least wasn't, you know, following throughout the week what I guess the turnout would be for Monterrey fans. So I wasn't really sure at first, you know, what to expect. And, you know, Inter has grown their fan base, and now you see a lot of pink and black. And that was the first thing that obviously struck me as I'm walking through. I didn't see a lot of Monterrey fans, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I guess they didn't travel very well. But then, because I was, you know, I didn't get there hours before the game. And so once I got into the stadium, I realized, oh, wow, there's a lot of blue and white here. The, you know, Rayados fans were already in. And you know, they were all over the stadium, every section. I mean, obviously the Barra Brava, you know, in the right corner, there, you know, towards the end when Monterrey scored their two goals, I definitely think that helped them. So just overall, it was a pretty divided stadium, I'd say. There was no real kind of home field advantage for Inter, which a lot of other games they can depend on a little bit more, but Rayados certainly traveled very well.
That's interesting because I lived in Miami for a while and I was a Rayados fan, but I never knew anybody else that was a Rayados fan. I guess, and from what I saw is that a lot of people traveled from all around the U.S. to Miami for this match, which is not an easy task. And yeah, that definitely I think helped during the match. I mean, Rayados went down at some point, and they had to come back and win the game. So. Yeah, that was interesting seeing the atmosphere, how many Rayados fans were there. Just in general, Miami not being a Mexican city, let alone a northern Mexican city like a Monterrey. They're normally all around Texas and or California a bit more. So Miami being a little bit full with Rayados fans was definitely a surprise, which was a very pleasant surprise. And I think that really helped the atmosphere of the match and the team wanting to really rally back and feel support.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing too was, you know, sometimes at the beginning of games, and we saw it in this one, it was a little bit quiet in general, just because, I mean, it was hard. The beginning of the game was rough, especially the first kind of, yeah, 15 minutes or so, you know, not a lot of very clear chances for either team. Mm-hmm. And there was a ton of wind. It was blowing kind of diagonally towards Rayal's left corner in the first half. And, you know, the ball was in the air a lot and it was, you know, kind of bouncing all over the place. And Miami was having, you know, trouble clearing it. So I think it was a bit difficult to get excited for both sides because there was just no real clear action happening. But then after, you know, once Rayados started to put some more pressure on, you really started to feel, especially in the second half, you started to realize, you know, how much that was gonna play into the game.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, what do you think the thoughts from like Inter Miami fans was with Rayados coming in? I know a lot of the fans or a lot of the people that go to the matches are not necessarily the biggest football fans in the world. I mean, Messi is there and Suarez is there, so that's why a lot of people go. But I just want to get to know what the people were saying about this Mexican team coming to Miami. Like, were people thinking it was an easy win, or was it going to be complicated? Because I don't think a lot of people in Miami follow Mexican soccer like that, and not necessarily know who Rayados is.
Yeah, I mean, I think out of all, Mexican teams, even though Rayados is, one of the more consistent and near the top, and especially right now, really tied for first place, it's not someone that, especially in Miami, people are like, oh, it's Rayados, all, they're gonna tremble with fear. But I think too, it's really just kind of more of an attitude thing for Inter fans that, they just kind of feel, especially after winning Leagues Cup, that, Miami's the best team in MLS, in North America, even on an international scale, outside of Europe, kind of feeling that they can really compete with anyone. So I think for a lot of Miami fans, they're just kind of thinking, well, we don't really care that Rayados is coming. And the thing too that always, really impacts it is I think fans feel very differently. It's, even when you talk about the stars that are Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets and now Luis Suarez, if Messi's not playing, the draw to go to the stadium to support the team in the same way goes down tremendously. And so I think especially with the very late news, I mean, it was first ESPN Argentina who broke the news that Messi wouldn't even be a substitute. That people were really thinking, oh, if we have Messi, we're fine. And then once Messi doesn't play, I think for the most part, people in Miami don't care as much. Obviously, there's still the supporters, but there was the whole section of the stadium right below the press and commentary boxes where you could see it was very, very empty. And I really think that was due to Messi not playing.
Yeah, I was gonna ask just that, like the people reacting to Messi's absence for this match, which is interesting because we'll talk a little bit about it more in a little bit. But after the game, all the things that happened, now Messi is back. Now Messi's gonna play against Colorado or come in from the bench as we're recording this. And then in theory he'll play against Rayados in Mexico. So something good came from that. Messi's finally back from his hibernation. So yeah, but about the game, during the game, when Miami scores, what's the feeling around the stadium? Is the hype real? Because that was literally their first attack, and they score. And yeah, so how does a stadium take that?
Yeah, it was honestly very surprising, because as we say, very against the run of play, because it was a very rough start, for Miami. Even I mean, I hate to criticize them this much on our, especially on our Rayados podcast, but Jesús Gallardo for me is not, should not be dominating. Wijnaldum, who just signed as right back, as a replacement for DeAndre Yedlin, at right back, coming from Boca, he should not be having as much trouble defending Jesús Gallardo, right? But that's not what we saw, and there were a lot of attacks down that side, and Miami really wasn't. They were defending and just trying to clear the ball, and really get it controlled and settled. And that was their main focus to start. So, you get a corner, and from the opposite side, because I was behind right next to the La Familia, the 1869 supporter section for Inter Miami, and we're on the opposite end, and it just kind of looked when the corner came into the front post, it kind of looked like Aviles, just kind of stuck his foot out. Then watching the replay and seeing the video later, it was very clear, he had a very good connection, and he just kind of won that front side. there to be able to get a good strike on it. But it's his first goal too for Miami, so it was surprising in the moment in the game because there wasn't a whole lot happening offensively for Miami, but also just the fact that Avila scored was also very unexpected because he still hadn't kind of broken through for the club quite yet.
Yeah, that's true. He's still a youngster. I think it was first, his first goal for the club as well.
Yeah, it
So,
was.
yeah, so good for him. I mean, obviously. But yeah, I think that definitely lit Tano Ortiz, the Rayados head coach, a fire where he needed to change something. In the second half, he made great substitutions, in my opinion. The things went out really well. And I'm wondering how does the stadium also take the red card for Inter Miami, and then also the first goal with the VAR and all the checks that they did.
So I think for the red card, which was really the turning point, I think that the disagreement in the end ended up being that, maybe the first yellow, he kind of steps on the ankle, David Ruiz, and is the first one really a yellow card? Maybe, maybe not. Just especially since it's in, just a couple minutes apart, right? It's just kind of getting stepped on. I believe it was on Mesa.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And that first foul was kind of like, is that a yellow? Maybe not. And then from the other side, it was harder to tell exactly what happened at first. But I had some people that I knew that were on that side of the stadium. Kind of, especially more towards that corner, kind of where Rayados goes to celebrate their first goal, right there, right behind all those fans, and they said it was very clear from there. That again, I mean, it was interesting to see that both of the incidents with David Ruiz happened to be on Maximiliano Mesa, but it was clear from that part of the stadium, from that vantage point, that it was a slap, and overall not necessary in general, but especially now with VAR, because you talked about, checking the first goal and seeing, what's going to happen, because it's the whole rebound, and was there any contact, and was Drake Callender affected, trying to come out. All of those sort of discussions, but you just have to know whether it's a goal scoring opportunity, whether it's just a play in midfield. There's cameras everywhere, and they're going to get reviewed.
Yeah, for
So
sure.
you cannot do that and then expect to get away with it, because there's people in the VAR room watching the angles and going, that's a clear slap, and that's it. Because honestly, even if he doesn't get the first yellow card, debatably, it could have been just a straight red. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what some people were saying too, yeah.
So you just can't turn around and slap someone, make any contact to the face, any sort of headbutt, nothing like that. You can't do it. And especially at that point in the game, you're kind of getting down to that crucial, real under last 30 minutes, and it changed the game. It changed the game, and I think Rayales went from there and really took advantage of being a man up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that happened, the red card, then Maxi Mesa's goal, it's confirmed. And then with like 20 something minutes to go, Rayados fans are thinking, okay, we gotta win this. That there's absolutely nothing else that we should do than win this, take advantage. But what were Inter Miami fans thinking? What was the stadium like? Like, were they, we can still hold out, we can even still win, or were they scared that something else would happen? Because just before the goal and the red card or the Rayados goal and the red card, Berterame came in, Cortizo came in, like attacking pieces came in. So us Rayados fans knew that we were going for it. But what was Miami thinking, you would say?
I really felt the energy get sucked out of the stadium. to be honest with you. Once you see the first goal, at first it's kind of like, people didn't realize that the VAR review was happening. I was kind of, doing with my hands, the VAR signal, like, oh, it's going to get reviewed. It'll get overturned. It'll be fine, right? But no, I really think after that, especially after the subs you mentioned, Cortizo coming in and Berterame also, they both played a big role in creating a lot more opportunities and putting a lot more pressure on the Miami defense, which really I think started, everybody got tired for Miami. I mean, you look at the one sub they made, and then everybody pretty much plays 90 minutes because even, I mean, I thought that this was the most ridiculous part of the game that, Robert Taylor hurts his hamstring. Leonardo Afonso comes in to replace him, and then 20 or so minutes later, he gets replaced. So after the David Ruiz, red card, the only person to come off is Alfonso, was the sub. He had the freshest legs, and he comes off. So everybody else on Miami is already tired, and then you put in someone that created so much, like Cortizo, and then Berterame, who again was also, getting there on crosses. Canales, after one of the corners, whips in the cross, and he just misses it. You start to really, as a fan and as a, even being on the field, you start to go, whoa, what's happening? You feel the momentum change, and it definitely switched off for Miami, because after that there was really just kind of like the beginning of the game, there was nothing going on offensively for Miami. And I mean, for the whole game, only two shots on target. So besides the goal, only one shot on target. And it's very difficult to win a game that way. And when you go down a man and then kind of go, okay, you know what, we're just going to defend for the last, 25 minutes plus, it's never really a good recipe. And we saw how it played out there.
And then last goal for Rayados, the winning goal comes in after a huge mistake from Miami. I don't remember who the player was. I think you remember because we were
Yeah,
talking about it. The WhatsApp.
it was Diego Gomez.
Diego Gomez, So huge
So
mistake,
he,
and
yeah.
Corcho scores. How was the stadium? How did you watch that? Tell us more about it.
For me, that was one of the most shocking mistakes that I've seen. Miami's not the type of team to be afraid to play out of the back, right? Obviously, I think it's not so much like a Barcelona or something like that, where, playing out of the back 100%, but they're just not afraid to do it. And in this case, Diego Gomez had some time and space to operate. There was, Mesa was there and Cortizo was there, and then of course, Rodriguez. But I think that mistake can't be made. For me, it was a mistake that was from tired legs. That's just it's a concentration error. It really is, and that's something that is a lot easier to do when you're exhausted and you're tired. And I thought Diego Gomez should have come out instead out of all the players. I wouldn't have taken Afonso out after replacing Robert Taylor because, again, he had fresh legs. He had come in. He had done. He hadn't played great, but Diego Gomez had already played, the full 65 minutes. So I thought he could have come out. Tata Martino decided not to do that, and then what's supposed to be a simple pass to the top of the box, a little half turn receive and play out for Diego Gomez. The ball literally just goes right under his foot, and then he is stuck in a triangle between Cortizo, Mesa, and Rodriguez, and he just took a touch. And what a finish! What a finish! I mean, Callender has been very good, especially at making the big saves. But that was, unsavable. just right over his outstretched hand, and
Yep.
it was really, I think, the deserved result in the end. I think
Yeah.
Miami fans were very mad, especially, around La Familia and the supporter section. But for me, there was no doubt that that was the result that was deserved, and there was just kind of no other way the game should have finished. So that was for me much, much deserved, with all the pressure, especially that I thought, Cortizo, for me was the difference maker in the end. His pressure just kind of being there, and then, Mesa having good positioning on the corner, and then just being able to have that calmness and just give it to Jorge to finish it off. And then, I mean, you can't really teach that. I'm gonna be honest, you just can't teach those sorts of finishes. That was a tremendous, tremendous finish. And after that, I mean, I had never seen kind of an eruption in that way from away supporters, and Monterrey went wild. I mean, absolutely wild in the stadium, and even after the game, still celebrating, obviously. Very, very happy with the result, and just when you have a last minute winner, it's hard not to be super excited.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. And then, I mean, bad news for Monterrey is that Corcho Rodriguez won't play the return leg just because he got a yellow card, so he won't be available for the next game, which will be a huge loss. Especially thinking Messi will be back. But you were sending us videos throughout the match, and one of the videos that you sent us was Sergio Canales and Sergio Busquets chatting after the match. All seemed friendly, all seemed like happy competition. And then apparently in the locker rooms, Messi and company were fighting with Rayados. It was all so surreal. What was it like? Was it palpable after the match finished? Like, were people discussing? Because I only saw the video you sent us. So yeah, I'm just wondering how that played out.
I was looking all across the field, as I always do, when I'm working games, and just overall trying to get, the best content out there, and the things that you're not gonna see on TV, or that you might not even notice in the stadium, because you walk away or you start to leave, the game's over. But it all seemed good. I mean, Messi, you could tell he was very angry. I mean, the match wasn't even, fully finished, and he had left from his booth, I guess you could call it, from his, box. Obviously his bodyguard goes with him everywhere. But Messi leaves, right? And that's kind of the last you see of that. Most players went into the tunnel, and it was just really Canales and Sergio Busquets kind of discussing. And yeah, like you said, there wasn't anything about their conversation in particular. They were having a good conversation. I mean, they stayed there for a while, several minutes after the final whistle. Besides that, it was just kind of a quick exchange of jerseys between Esteban Andrade and Luis Suarez. And other players, saying hello to each other, quickly, and Rayados fans appreciating their fan support, and then they just kind of walked into the tunnel. And obviously, I wasn't there. I don't really know what happened. Javi Morales, one of the assistants for Inter, was kind of, when he got asked about it, what happened with Messi, because Rayados came out and said, "Hey, we filed a complaint with CONCACAF. We hope that what needs to be done gets done." So they want some sort of punishment for me. I'm not sure, what they were looking for. They weren't specific with that. But for me, at least, it's certainly been weird to see someone that's, typically been a little bit more of a quiet player, just kind of, play your game, do your thing, score your goals, have your incredible moments, this and that, for Messi. And really, since the World Cup, with the Camilo Bobo, in the interviews, and then even during Leagues Cup, during I'm not sure if you remember, because we were at the
Yeah,
when we were at the
I was gonna mention it, yeah.
Miami Orlando game, that was kind of the first time I saw him really get upset and start fighting and start pushing and start fouling, and he got a yellow card, and I just kind of felt like it was very uncharacteristic of him. And then, I mean, he was upset because Tano came out and, without explicitly saying it, he said, well, everything that goes on around Messi can lead to decisions on and off the pitch. And the reports that came out were kind of suggesting that that's really what upset Messi, kind of, Tano coming out and saying, hey, it's rigged in favor of Messi, or if Messi plays, the refs are in his favor. And you had the whole thing. Interestingly enough, again, when it was Miami Orlando, this time in MLS, where you had the switch of the referee because you was spotted in a Messi jersey. Interestingly enough, the referee who replaced him was Jaime Herrera
Oh,
Garduño,
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
which was very cool to see. Because we know him, he's a great guy. Very very cool to see him ref Messi and Inter Miami and in the Florida Derby. But I think when you make comments about that a certain player is gonna have things in his favor, I can see why Messi would be upset. I have no idea, and I don't think any of us do, other than the people who were there. They're the only people that know the truth. So we really, it's just very interesting. No doubt, though, with or without, Corcho, it is going to be a very, very interesting return leg
Oh yeah.
back in Monterrey. I think the game will be very heated. I think we're going to see a lot of cards. It's going to feel like a final. It's gonna feel like a continental final, and for me at least, that's what I want. That's what I want. I think that's the entertainment that everybody wants to see. Obviously, you're gonna want to see a Rayados win, and Miami fans are gonna want to see Messi kind of get his revenge. But it's gonna be, I mean. When that story came out, and they're still talking about it today, even the big news isn't so much, oh, Messi's coming back to play Colorado. No, it's more, by the way, Messi was fighting, Monterrey going to the locker room, and I mean, it's just very, very interesting, because for me, it's kind of a complete change in his personality.
Like you said, we've seen it since he arrived during the Leagues Cup, especially. He was super heated with everybody. He was fighting, he was yelling at refs, super uncharacteristic. And yeah, we were talking about it before, and now still seeing him go at it, it's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty weird. Now, I was super excited with Rayados and Messi like crossing paths. Something I never thought it would happen. Just, I mean, I'm a Rayados fan and I'm a Messi fan, and now it's so funny that Messi probably hates my team now, just because of what happened during the match. But I think the return leg is gonna be, like you said, really great atmosphere, perfect scenario for Messi, angry, having to. They need a comeback. Messi coming back as well. Like, it's the perfect scenario for CONCACAF, for the script writers, who in theory are controlling Messi's career, Messi's final days. But I don't know which way to call it. I think Rayados is strong to maintain their lead and advance. But you never know with Messi. If he's there, he really do. He, I mean, he's changed. He won the World Cup just a little bit ago. He's doing some crazy stuff still with Miami and the MLS. Like, he can still generate and do whatever he wants on the pitch. So, with that, what are your thoughts? What is your prediction? What do you think will happen?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty because I think something that I definitely don't think Messi was expecting it. I mean, maybe you can say he was and he knew before he came to MLS about how it would be, but I think the amount of games, the intensity of the games, especially, because what really, I guess, makes MLS MLS and a lot of these other leagues is less the actual playing, right? And a lot more the physical aspects, the physicality, the back and forth, a lot, I'm not going to compare it to the Premier League, but it's kind of sort of on the North American level, it's the most, kind of back and forth atmosphere that you see, a lot of transitions within the game, and I think that really started to weigh on Messi, especially later in his career. And he's been asked a bunch of times, "What do you have left to accomplish?" And he says, "I completed football. I don't need to do anything. I'm not out to prove anything." So it's difficult for me a little bit because you think, of course, he wants to win. But if he comes back today and he's not that healthy and he can only play, 30 minutes or 45 minutes versus Rayados, in the second leg, I think that gives Monterrey the advantage. I just think there's a lot of uncertainty regarding how healthy is he really. Is Inter just being overprotective and just trying not to make his injury worse, or does he really have something that, is going to prevent him from being at his best? I don't think we'll know, until we really see it. And, the game's starting in a little less than 30 minutes. So, I mean, we'll see really what his level is. But Monterrey being back home, for me, Estadio BBVA is the most beautiful out of the ones that will host the 2026 World Cup in Mexico. Not that, Azteca isn't beautiful, but I think it's a little bit more historic. I mean, just with the view at BBVA and, just what they have, it's a fantastic setting, and I think Rayados fans are going to be up for it, especially with the drama now in the locker room, and they are going to be
It's gonna be fun.
supporting very heavily. And it will be very, very interesting to see how it goes. But I still think Rayados has the upper hand just because I don't think as of right now you can count fully on Messi to kind of carry this team forward, because I think we've seen the difference between Inter with Messi and without, even when you have Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets and Luis Suarez. I mean, they go to Red Bulls. Sure, they have, a lot of other players missing, international duty, whatever. But they lo you lose 4-0 to Red Bulls. I mean, you still have your other part of your big three, right? You have your midfielder, you have your forward, you have your left back. The best in their positions in the entire league, you can't even score. I mean, it actually wasn't 4-0. I believe it finished 4-1 actually. But still, I mean, you really get embarrassed in that way. Oh no, I think the goal got called back. I think
Oh,
it got called
the
back.
Luis Suarez header, right?
Yeah, I think it got called back. So it was 4-0. But I. Overall, it's just when you watch games like that, you think, wow, Messi really, it's really Messi make or break for Miami. And when you're relying solely on one player that's not even fully healthy, I don't think you can say this team has the upper hand. If you can't count on him, then you don't have your best performance. There's no way I think, Inter goes in being the favorites, especially away from home.
Yeah. And there's also, I think, no way that CONCACAF does something that prevents Messi or anybody of those Fantastic Four playing the second leg. I mean, they'll.
You know what? You know what? I actually don't think it's that open and shut, to be honest. Because for me, you look at what could potentially happen, and yeah, maybe, you know, who knows? The thing is, I think there's a lot of information we don't know. Like we were talking about, we're not exactly sure what went on or who was involved or, you know, what part, you know, Suarez played and what did Sergio Busquets know, and you know, what was Alba doing, things like that. Where I think depending on what Rayado submits, maybe there's video, you know, that, you know, won't be released
Yeah, that's
to the
true.
general public or to the media. So we don't really know what CONCACAF is gonna receive. And I really think it's gonna have to be clear, obviously. I don't think they're gonna take it, you know, Tano Ortiz or, you know, some member of the coaching staff saying, "Hey, you know, Messi came and did this and did that," and CONCACAF is gonna go, "Yeah, of course, we'll stop them from playing the second leg." You know, because then everything, you know, CONCACAF loses money on every front. So I definitely understand why you'd be skeptical of it, but you never know, because if they get something very convincing, we could potentially see. I mean, that's one side of it, and the other is, you know, if Messi's just not healthy, you know, that poses a whole other problem for Inter, but for Rayados, that would be a huge sigh of relief, because they already saw how they can turn around the game in only 25 minutes, away from home, and then, you know, playing in front of your own fans, it's going to be a lot easier, I think.
It's
Because I
gonna
don't
be
think Miami will not travel well to Monterrey. I don't think. I really don't.
no. Me neither. Absolutely not. So yeah, I'm because especially, I mean, the stadium is always sold out pretty much. People have their season tickets. A lot of people do resell them, especially for games like this, because you know there's it's a lot of interest. But the stadium, the Rayados fans that'll be there, the atmosphere is gonna be insane. I'm gonna be there. I'm ready. I think it's one of the most exciting games I've gone to since the Rayados Tigres final in the CONCACAF Champions
Oh
League.
wow.
So
Yeah.
it's that level, I guess, at least for me. And I think for a lot of people, the social media is going crazy with this. If Messi plays or doesn't play or whatever happens, it's Rayados against Miami. Rayados is very, very, very eager to show like this is us, you know? Like
Exactly.
Miami kind of thinks that they can come in and do their thing, but Rayados has been here before. They've won the competition 5 times. I think that's kind of like the attitude, which is nice, you know, as a fan to see that. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be exciting. Hopefully, you know, we get to see a good match. We get to see Messi here in Monterrey. But yeah, man, thank you so much for coming in, for giving us what it was like from this stadium for this first leg between Inter Miami and Rayados. But yeah, thank you so much. And I forgot in the beginning to introduce you. So if you can, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, thanks for having me on, and it's awesome to be able to discuss, you know, I think Monterrey right now, really one of only two very consistent Liga MX teams, you know, between Monterrey and America. You know, right now just overall Liga MX dominating the CONCACAF Champions Cup, because we also saw a big win for America over New England Revolution and Pachuca over Herediano, which, you know, hurt me very much.
I was
But
gonna
we're not gonna talk about it. I have no comment on that game. But it's great to be able to talk about it. I mean, for me, I follow along a lot of Costa Rican football. You know, the Mexican League as well, especially covering teams here in Miami. I've done a lot of Inter Miami coverage, covering U Miami baseball, University of Miami baseball as well. At Andres Andres JM3 on Instagram, and then Andres JM3 underscore on Twitter. You guys reposted some of my stuff, which I really appreciate. So you can find me there, and always covering the best, especially in world soccer. So look out for different information and coverage of events from all across the US and all across the world. We'll have it all. I'll have it all. And yeah, I appreciate you again having me on and letting me share more about this game. And I can't wait for the second leg. I agree with you that, I mean, it's gonna be great that you will be there, because this is gonna be, one of the best games, I think, on the continental level that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for being here with us. Hopefully we get to talk again soon. And yeah, thank you. Thank you everybody for listening. Have a good one.